Hola, secondly, yes, we have moved into dissertation of the doctrine of regeneration as we have structured it theme-wise, the scriptural doctrine of regeneration. The scriptural doctrine of regeneration. Amen. I want you to turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And we're going to look at some other verses this morning. As you're aware, there's much turmoil in certain sectors of the country this morning. We're praying for those evacuees and victims. Hurricane Katrina. Yet our ministering continues to focus where it always is and where it should be. That is on the eternal workings of God. Amen. That which cannot change. That which will never change. For if we stay focused there, we have the answers to all of the questions as to why this and why that. Why did this happen and why did that happen? And questions that men are trying to put answers to, scrambling. Amen. But when you focus on the eternal workings of God, amen. It induces you to,
amen,
to confess and understand that God has an eternal plan, His eternal workings, amen. And Katrina, tsunami, they're all part of God's decree. We are moving through time. We are on a journey, amen. And everything that is transpiring is a part of God's purpose in moving toward that which He purposed within Himself. Amen. And so we don't have to wonder why this and why that. The answer is God's decree.
That's right.
Amen. Now, what will keep us on target is when we understand that that which is viewed as the future, which frightens most men because we don't really know what the future has in certain areas, but we do know according to God's word, the total picture, what God is bringing about. But when we view the future in the sphere of time, that's the problem.
All right.
Because it does not afford us entrance into God's plan except those things that He has revealed. But when we look at the future as in that it is actually antecedently positioned, or it is positioned in the eternity. It is the future is not what's ahead in time. The future is really what God has already done in eternity.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It looks futuristic from the manifestation aspect of time. But all that is to be accomplished has already been accomplished in the decree of God.
Glory to God.
And as it relates to our salvation, we were just singing a song, in times like these, you need an anchor. In times like these, you need a Savior. And it goes on to say, be very sure. And there's only one way to be sure.
Glory.
And have an anchor.
Right.
That is in that which is unmovable and unshakable. And as the song goes, the solid rock of which we are to hold to is Jesus. He's the one. In fact, he's the only one. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And so this is why our focus is always on him. We have tendencies to focus on ourselves.
Yes.
And focus on the things that are around us, not understanding that he is the preeminent one. And everything revolves around him. Oh my God, hallelujah. So our focus has to be on him, on who he is. We are so concerned about what we are doing when our focus should be upon what he is doing. And what he has done.
Amen. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
Is that something?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we do, as another song that we sing around here, is that our eyes are on Jesus. The song said, turn your eyes. I hope that our eyes are forever fixed upon him. And as we do, the things of this world become strangely dim, strangely out of the aspect of what we think they are when we look upon them, and the circumstances and events around us overwhelm us. Amen. But these are only incidents that are a chain within the aspect of what God has outlined and outlaid that will happen. Amen. And the bottom line is, we are safe and secure from all alarms.
Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah.
Elder Liberman is our designated reader. In addition to this, I want you to also, we're going to look at something that we looked at a while ago, that's Colossians 2:13, and then also Romans chapter 6, verse 13, as we basically focus on the doctrinal teaching of regeneration and what it conveys is. All right, let's begin in Titus chapter 2, chapter 3 rather, verse 5. Elder, why don't you read that first from the King James? Thank you for the sake of making sure that we cover all the bases of contextuality. And start there in verse 1 and then move into the proper text, which is verse 5. Everyone has Galatians chapter 3. Did I say Galatians? I mean Titus chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read or read.
Titus chapter 3, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men.
He said, our gospel doesn't cover daily living. My, my, my. Mm-hmm. Verse 3,
for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness of the after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
By washing of regeneration, which is inclusive of the renewing by the Holy Spirit. Let's those of you who have your Greek Bibles, take it and turn to that same passage, Titus chapter 3. And Elder, I want you to read verses 4 and 5 from the Greek text this time. And those who don't have it, hopefully we are all, those who are regular attendees here, have it at some point. And again, the Bible was originally written in Hebrew for the Old Testament and the Greek for the New Testament. The English language, as we speak it, is only about 500 to 600 years old. Not even 600 years old yet. These manuscripts were written long before there was an English language.
Yes.
And I hear people talking about the King James translation and talking about the NIV, and they're saying which translation is the best. There's good in all of the translations, and there are flaws in all of the translations. There are even some flaws in the manuscripts, because there are three classifications of manuscripts. There are many thousands upon thousands of documents, and they are all copies of copies. No one has the original autograph. That is the actual piece of paper, pages that Paul penned his words on, and James and John, and these documents are not originals. They are copies and copies of copies. And there was no copy machine back in those days. In fact, the printing press wasn't even invented until the 14th century. So the only way to copy some would give it to a scribe, and the scribe would copy it, and so the authentication of it would be dependent upon the scribe. And so then, and why bother, someone would say. Well, the best material is copies of that which is written in the original Greek. Because the English language, it fails in many areas, which it does not cover every basis. So in our quest and in our desire to get the actual intended thought conveyance, that which it is really teaching, we go to these copies of the manuscripts and we read. And of course, the fail-safe operant in this is the Holy Ghost.
All right.
The Holy Spirit is the teacher.
All right.
Amen. And it is to God's glory that in spite of all of the messing around that is going on,
yes,
in the translations and even in the manuscripts, God's word is still alive and well this morning. Hallelujah. Because it comes not so much the written word as it is the living word.
Living.
Amen. These words are alive.
Amen.
This is the communication of God that flows through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Listen closely, and we shall read the 4th and the 5th chapter, of the 3rd chapter of Titus, as we attempt to get some more enlightenment as to what is being conveyed here. All right, listen, from verse 4, Titus chapter 3, verse 4, from the Greek text. Read.
Titus chapter 3, 4, a Greek text. But when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us, God, not by works in righteousness which did we, but according to the of him mercy, he saved us through washing of regeneration and renewal spirit of the whole.
So the last part of that, when you see washing that belongs to regeneration. We spent about a year and a half discoursing to you a dissertation, The Glorious Body of Christ, the Church, so that we have an understanding what the church really is.
Right.
And from it, we know who we are.
Right.
We are members of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the real church, not this building so much, not even the organization, Grace Gospel Church. Amen. It is not the essence of so much organized believers as it is called out ones. Those whom God called. And then when we go to the 8th chapter of Romans, it teaches us that it all goes back to the eternal realm where he foreknew us. And then those that he foreknew, he did what? He predestinated. And of course, that word there, the root of it in the Greek is porizo, which is really foreordained. Comes from the compound word, means to previously set the boundaries. And so God set this thing up and he set the boundaries. Of who's in and who's out. He's. I know that we don't like that. We don't like that. No, we don't like that, because basically what we're taught is that based upon something that we did, how well we did it, amen, and how much we did it, it becomes the basis of our salvation, our standing before God. But when you look at that verse, amen, verses 28, 29, amen, and 30, it teaches us that in eternity, God foreknew us. And because of that, he foreordained us. That means he set the boundaries. And then those whom he set the boundaries from, he's not through working in eternity. He called you. He summons you. When did he do that? He did that in eternity. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And then work. It's still going on in eternity.
Yeah.
Those that he calls, he summons, he justified them.
Justified.
Amen. And justification means to declare righteous, but God cannot just declare us righteous.
Sorry.
He has to make us righteous.
Yeah.
He can't just call us righteous. He has to make us righteous because God doesn't call something that's not his. Amen. And though it may seem not to be, it is, because God called it, but he called it in eternity. And then those that he justified, that he declared righteous, he glorified. He glorified. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't see my glorified body yet. Amen. You don't have to see it for it to exist. Amen. In eternity, he glorified. So you're not on your way to heaven if you, amen, was foreknown by God, and you were foreordained. And if you were foreordained, you were called. And if you were called, you were justified. And if you were justified, you were glorified.
Glory.
In eternity.
Yes.
Before time.
Amen.
We make salvation so fragile.
Yes, we do.
Saved today, lost tomorrow. Cause us something that we did. And this is why we stop, we take time, we teach about regeneration. Regeneration tells what we are. The body of Christ, who we are. We are members of the body of Christ. Regeneration, what we are. What we are. And what we are is not based upon the condition of our conduct. Even though conduct is so very important. Don't you ever think, we said it earlier, amen. And of course, more important, the scripture teaches us. Paul was teaching so heavy about this grace, and then some say, hey, if sin abound and grace superabound, then that's sin the more that grace can abound. Paul said, hey, what are you talking about? Huh? Shall we sin the more? Grace abound? God forbid. Amen. When you know more, you do more. Amen. When you know more, amen, it gives you the motivation. Amen. This is even in the natural. When a person is growing up, as they learn more and mature, they are supposed to become more disciplined.
Yes.
Amen. And even John corroborates that. He said, my children, these things I write unto you for you to sin. No, that you sin not.
Yes. Amen.
And so, it is given to us for the purpose of illumination as to who we are. Who we are.
Yes.
Amen. And who we are is who he has made us to be.
Glory.
By nature in eternity before time. He gave us the nature of God when he placed us in Christ Jesus. Now, this is not always manifested. What we hope to show is what regeneration is. And the bottom line is there's a difference between the old man and the new man. And the problem is we get the old man mixed up with the new man. And when the old man acts up, we indict the new man. Amen. But there's a difference between the old man and the new man. Sometimes we don't act like we should. Amen. But does that mean we're not saved? Amen. No. Amen. Only, amen, barometer for gauging one's salvation is to look into the essence of the eternal plan of God. And those whom he called, he chose before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Amen. And if you, amen, were chosen by him, you are saved regardless of what your status this morning. Certain denominational, and it used to frighten me as a boy, my father was an apostolic preacher. It used to frighten me. As the people, when they get in trouble, they would say they're not saved anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They would say they backslid, they lost it,
mm-hmm.
they're on the way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That used to frighten me.
Oh.
In fact, that frightened me so bad until I didn't want any parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And thank God for knowledge and understanding. Amen. Because that's a frightening aspect. Amen. To start out on a journey, and if you fail, everything that you've done up to that point is lost. Amen. But we have to understand what regeneration is. And amen. And I, one night I heard a mother of the church get up. This has been years ago. And she said, holiness is right even if nobody lives it. And I said, What happened is you started looking around, and you're looking for perfection, and you're not going to find it in the flesh. My flesh, your flesh, the bishop's flesh, the pope's flesh, no flesh. Amen. Get away from the flesh. And so when we look and we pinpoint regeneration, we see it comes from two words which we'll get into a little later, not today in our dissertation. The prefix, the word meaning again and birth, a born, again birth. Amen. And that puzzled the theologians over the years, and they've come up with many renditions of what they feel that it means. And some say that it means the original state of man, Adam before he sinned. But yet, when you look at the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it just blows a hole in that. It says the first man was of the earth, what?
Earthly.
Amen. fleshly. But the second man, what? Is the Lord from above. So we're talking about going back, amen. We have to go back further than Adam in the garden before he sinned. You got to go back to eternity where God gave you the nature, oh my God, in Christ as he placed you and made you a member of the body of Christ. So again, amen, is to revert back to what God did for you in the first place.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is so very important.
Glory.
For us to know what we are. And this is what has thrown so much confusion into the church. And this is what blows a hole in 90% of denominational dogma.
That's right. That's right.
Confusion. Mm-hmm. And the most confusion aspect of this is, what does it mean to be saved?
Yes.
What does being saved consist of?
Yes.
And what do you become when you are saved? What is it? Amen. There are those who are mixing it up to the point they confuse the old man with the new man. They confuse regeneration with conversion. Amen. Many think that because they got up out of their seat, walked down an aisle, and either went through some variation of what they were told to do as regarded being saved, that they're saved. Some said, come and shake the preacher's hand. Some said, come and repeat the sinner prayer. In the old days, some said, come to the mourner's bench. Then others said, go back in the tarry room. Amen. And tarry till you be filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues. And the tongues is the evidence that you're saved. If I don't hear a tongue, you're not saved. Amen. And if you happen to be deaf and dumb, and that's the way, amen, your physical condition is, amen, there's no way for me to know that you are saved because you can't speak. I asked a brother one time, I said, well, then what if a person is deaf and dumb? He said, well, you know, because when you get trapped, you say, well, you know, God would just cause them to speak that one time, and then they won't have to speak anymore. You see? But then in every aspect of what regeneration is, there's confusion. They tell you that you must make some public declaration, else you cannot be saved. Then the question comes to bear concerning infant salvation. A baby, amen, a little baby that is born. And we had an occasion about a year and a half ago now, here at this assembly, where we had a memorial for an infant that died. And there was the question, is what is the status of that infant? Because evidently didn't get a chance to get up and walk down the aisle, be baptized in water, amen, do any of those things. So what is the status of that infant? Amen. And what happened is some run to the Old Testament. And of course, you have to be careful jumping outside of dispensation.
Yes.
Going to the Old Testament, and it came up with the age of accountability. Said, you know, and so someone said, well, the baby was innocent, and the baby never got a chance to sin, and so they automatically went to heaven. Amen. Of course, what blows a hole in that is even in the Old Testament. Amen. Huh? We are born what?
In sin.
In sin. And what? If that baby was born, he was born a sinner. Amen. So he said, well, God makes exception for that. But see, if you get into the essence of understanding regeneration, amen, it clears up all of that. And so, in our discourse, we shall deal with decision of regeneration. Amen. Decision. You hear so much about making a decision. Making a decision for Christ. Deciding. As though we are the ones that decides whether we are going to be saved or not. Now, I know this is against 95% of what is being taught in Christians today. Amen. Even if you run to that favorite area of the Bible, the Old Testament, it is documented that Israel, Abraham, did not choose God. God chose Abraham. And if God chose them, what makes you think that is reversive in this day that we choose God?
Oh, preacher. Amen.
If God chose them,
then
it is God who chooses us. And so you didn't choose God. Amen. God said to Israel, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you. Amen. And our gospel tells us that the choice was made when?
In eternity.
Ephesians 1 and 4. Amen. According as he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. That sounds like before he created it about it to me. So what is this regeneration of? Born again. We think that, many think, I should say, hope nobody here thinks that this means that one day you came up and you went down in the water and you, through that, you became washed. And even water baptism, such a big controversy. Because you go to the various denominations and someone say, you should sprinkle. And they've got, and say, we got scripture for it. And they do. Got scripture for it. They got scripture for it. In the Old Testament, you see many washings and sprinklings. This of all, but we are New Testament saints, not really knowing what they're saying.
Amen.
And they're saying, it is by submersion. And the way it is done, you have to be dunked. Because Jesus was dunked. He didn't say that. He said that he was baptized in the water.
Yeah.
It didn't describe the methodology. You see what the imagination do? Your imagination will do. It will cause you to go way out there and fantasize. And then those that say, let's submerge, there's a controversy there. As to what is being said when the person is submerged. You go to one denomination, or two or three of them, and they said, do it. And when you do it, you've got to say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then here comes the apostolics out of the woodwork. Oh, watch it. Let's go to Acts 2 and 38. They come out blazing with their Acts in the 2:38. And they said, no. It must be according to what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, that you must be baptized in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. And then some will come along and say, oh, you just can't just say Jesus Christ. You got to put Lord in there. And so if you go to one denomination, and this is so confusing, they said, well, you have been baptized before? He said, yes. They said, what? He said, name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If it's apostolic church, he said, oh, no, you got to be baptized over again. You go to the other denomination and say, how were you baptized? You say, in Jesus' name. He said, oh, no. You got to do it like the Bible says. And then one preacher said, pastor said to me, he said, you know, if I have to take a choice as to what Peter said on the day of Pentecost and what Jesus said in Matthew, he said, I'll give more weight to what Jesus said. Now, is not the whole Bible the word and counsel of God? So what is this confusion all about? The knowledge of regeneration clears all of this up. Being regenerated, born again, has reference to what God did for you in eternity, amen, and giving you the nature of God as he placed you into the body of Christ. It has nothing to do with any event that happens in time.
Yes.
The focus is on what God did for you in eternity.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
So as the infant saved, if he's the lake, if he or she is the lake of God, they're saved.
That's right.
So what if they're not? That's God's business. That's God's business. And then not only the infant, if a person, amen, has a mental impediment, amen. You say, I was talking to one minister one time. He was saying, you know, with that brother, he said, God straightened up his mind, saved him, and then he went right back to where he was. Regeneration clears all of this up. We shall take a solid year. We shall go through this. We shall break it down. We shall get rid of all of these diverse erroneous doctrinal proclamations. Promissory regeneration. What is that? Promissory regeneration. In other words, that means that there's something that you got to do to make, you know what a promissory note is. That's where you promise to do something. Amen. And so what they teach is that God will save you based on the fact that you do something. You got to say something, do something, or something. You can't be regenerated and do nothing. You got to do something. And this is why we labor so hard here through the scriptures, through proper interpretation of the Bible, to show that God did this thing alone. You have nothing to do with the fact that you have the nature of God. You didn't participate in your salvation in no respect. It didn't happen. Being placed into Christ,
hallelujah,
is not your doings.
Amen.
And so when we speak about birth, new birth, again birth, being born again, begotten, change, regeneration, when they speak about all of the reeds, resurrection. Resurrection doesn't go forward except in manifestation. Resurrection goes back.
Yes.
Amen. Redemption.
Yes.
Redemption does not go forward except in manifestation.
Right.
Goes backwards. Reconciliation. Reconciliation does not go forward except in manifestation. And actuation, it goes back. It goes back to what God did for you before he ever created you. If you don't understand this, and you place these workings in time, then you got problems about what justification is, what sanctification is. They have made sanctification be conduct. Sanctification has nothing to do with conduct. The Greek word means to be set apart. And you don't set yourself apart by your conduct. Thank God. My God. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
That's maturation. That's growth. That's maturity. And identifying. As you learn who you are and what you are, this becomes the incentive for you in identifying. That is the process of God. Mm-hmm. If the Lord regarded iniquity, who would be saved? Mm-hmm. If he looked at us in the flesh, I don't care who you are.
That's right.
And you had to measure up against the standard of God's righteousness. Every last one of us would fail. Amen. I wonder sometime some who are preaching these legalistic doctrines, do they read, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no righteous. No, not one. So our focus here is who we are in Christ. That's the root, amen, to good discipline. Amen. And from our discourse, we want to clear up this thing about baptism. And the fact that Apostle Paul says there's only one. Even though when we go to the Old Testament, we see many. That's the difference between dividing the old from the new. Paul was not saying there was only one, period. He was saying there's only one in our gospel. It is the baptism that he refers to in these 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians verse 13, by one spirit have we all been baptized into one body. He is talking about, amen, the baptism that the Holy Spirit performed, amen, in placing you in the body of Christ in eternity.
Yes.
This is what Pastor Paul.
Thank you. Yes.
We look at creation because we're taught that when Adam fell, amen, he surprised God. And God was somewhere, amen, absent. Amen. We look at election, eternal security, amen, imputation. What does imputation? Oh, don't we love the Asians?
Yes.
Perpetuation. Well, many of God's people don't even know what perpetuation is.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh.
Perpetuation is the essence of what qualified you. Amen. It is the eternal acceptable sacrifice of Jesus Christ in your stead that qualified you to be saved.
Yes.
Amen. And most of us don't even know what that term means. And so we shall deal with all of these aspects. Give me about 10 minutes. And of course, as I've said, it's going to take time to basically go through this. Amen. Turn right quickly with me to Colossians. Well, let me see. Let's go to the shorter one. Let's go to, well, I don't know whether it's short or not. Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 13. Amen. Oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
I want to deal with the struggles that we have as saints of God.
Right.
One of the most eerie and unnerving and miserable feelings that a child of God can have is to think that he or she is not saved because of some circumstances that has befallen them. The most miserable feeling that I could ever think of feeling is that I wasn't acceptable to God. Now, I know I'm not acceptable to God in myself.
Right.
Never could be. Amen. All right? You got that, Elder?
Yeah.
All right, read from the King James first. Then I want to read this from the Greek text. Y'all give me just a... We'll run a little over this morning, but this is important stuff. I'm telling you, because there's something out there waiting on you. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Verse 13. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Okay. And then I heard this, the new teaching of the Word of Faith movement now. Because they've gone out on a limb and say if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you are going to be blessed and get whatever you want from God. And it didn't happen. I mean, is it surprising that didn't happen that way? And so now they're coming back and they're saying, if you live free from sin, you'll get it. Which means what? No one is going to ever get it. Now, here is what the scripture says as we close the day. Read that from the Greek text.
Romans 6, 13.
Read it very slowly because everyone doesn't have a Greek Bible. Read it.
Okay. Romans 6:13, Greek translation.
Well, wait a minute. I tell you what, you have to go back to verse 10 first.
Okay. Verse 10.
Well, no, let's go back to verse 9.
Okay.
Read.
Romans 6:9, Greek translation.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, no more dies. Death of him. No more lords it over.
All right. So death doesn't lord over him, which in terms mean what? Death does not lord over you.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
For in that he died, to sin he died once.
How many times?
Once.
All right.
But in that he lives, he lives to God. So also ye reckon yourselves.
You count yourselves.
To be dead indeed.
Dead indeed.
To sin.
To sin.
Living but to God. In Christ Jesus.
Now, again, you count yourself to be dead. And we went over this in the perfecting class. In fact, we broke it down. I don't have time this morning. But this is conclusional that... When he says you reckon, that Greek word there does not mean to guess. It means to calculate. You know, I'm a country boy from the South, and riding up the road, you stop and you ask someone where something is, and they say, well, I reckon it's about 3 miles down the road. That's only like, I'm not sure exactly. No. This is calculate. When you calculate something, you're coming into precision.
Amen.
What Paul's saying is, this is not something I'm guessing about. This is something I know. Read.
Not therefore let sin let reign.
Verse 12.
Not therefore.
Therefore.
Let reign sin in the mortal of you.
Not let sin therefore reign in you. Here we have that verb there is what we call an imperative present. And it's in the active voice which speaks of manifestation. So basically, it is qualified by, and I'm going to have to skip through this, I'll come back next week, by a subordinating conjunction of what follows it. What follows it? Why will you not, why should not sin reign a champion your body? What is the motivation there? Read.
The mortal of your body. Mm-hmm. For the obey the lust of it.
All right.
Neither present ye the members of you weapons of unrighteousness.
There we go. Here we are.
To sin.
Mm-hmm.
But present yourselves to God.
Present. Here we have an imperative. Why are you presenting not your members as unrighteous?
Right.
Here we have a strong, what we call a strong adversative conjunction. But what? Read.
But present yourselves to God as from the dead living.
Okay, now here, that second word present, and we'll break that down into components next week, that is an imperative aorist.
Mm-mm-mm.
A past completed command. Here's what it's saying.
Glory.
But present yourselves as what?
Present yourselves to God as from the dead living.
As coming out from the dead, you are alive. That goes to the decree of God.
God. Amen.
That, listen to me, and I'm going to close here. In spite of all of your failures, your faults, your shortcomings, listen to me.
Bring it out.
Your conduct is not what you're presenting to God for consideration for accepting you in the first place. What you are presenting to God is that you are alive coming out from the dead. This is an identification with the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, because he died, amen, in eternity. That is the essence of your death to sin. We rose in eternity. That, in essence, is the essence of your resurrection out from the dead.
Glory.
Now, the manifestation of it is 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I won't get to 2,000 years ago.
Glory to God.
Upon Calvary.
Yes.
But it goes back further than that.
Mm-hmm.
And what we present to God is the accomplished work.
Thank you.
Of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
On our behalf.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always pointing to Jesus.
That's it.
Huh? Always. Jesus. Captain of my soul.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh, how I love that name. Oh, how sweet is that name. Jesus. We shall continue to focus and look into the essence. And I want you to take those documents I gave you. We didn't get a chance to get to it this morning. Amen. But we will. There is so much that we need to know and understand about who we are. Because if you understand who you are and what you are, amen, it will cause you to stand secure and be happy,
mm-hmm,
in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Can you be happy in Jesus this morning?
Amen.
When things around you fall, can you be happy in Jesus? Can a person such, and I'm sure there are many Christians that were in New Orleans, can you lose everything you got and be happy in Jesus?
Oh, glory.
Can your body be right with pain and you have a pronouncement of a terminal illness and you still be happy in Jesus?
Oh.
Here's the key. And I'm through for the day.
Hallelujah.
If you ever come to the point that you actually know who you are,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and what you are,
mm-hmm,
that will overshadow everything else in existence.
Oh, all right now.
And it will be the determinant of your happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what goes on in life,
mm-hmm,
you can sing like the old people used to sing.
Mm-hmm.
One day,
yes,
I'm going where Jesus is.
Yes.
Can you say
one day,
I'm going where Jesus is. And I'll be caught up. Can you say caught up? Can you say caught up? No more problems. No more troubles. No more heartaches. No more confusion. Oh my God, call up to meet him in the air, and there shall we ever be with him, because in the beginning he regenerated us. God bless you.